This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me in the studio is, of course, Philip C. It is 7:07, Tuesday, November 23rd. Before that, markets.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So US markets were mixed. Dow was up marginally 0.05%, S&P 500 down 0.32%, as well as NASDAQ down 1.26%. Now, over and across in Asia, only the Hang Seng was down 0.39%, but the rest of the markets were up. Nikkei was up marginally 0.09%, Shanghai Composite up 0.61%, STI Singapore up 0.15%, and back home, FBM KLCI up marginally 0.09%, just by a squeaker.
So just to tell us where global markets are heading, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thanks for speaking to us again, Joe. I think we in Malaysia, we woke up to news that President Joe Biden renominated Jerome Powell as Fed Chair. So can we expect a more hawkish Federal Reserve?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think the key with Chairman Powell being reelected or being reappointed, it just gives some certainty to the market. So I get this out of the way. Everyone knows him, so there's no game-changing plans going into the tapering and the tightening. So I think President Biden made the right choice in keeping the person in place, because the Fed is in a very tricky spot right now with, you know, the transitory didn't work out, tapering started, tightening later. So the last thing you need to do is like change your quarterback right in the middle of the game. So I think it's a good call on the president's part. Mm.
But he did also appoint Lyle Brainard as the vice chair. How do you think the working relationship will be between these two duo?
I think it'll be fine. They've known each other for a long time. They're Fed experience. So the best thing about the Federal Reserve is there's a deep bench. The worst part about the Fed is that, you know, they totally whiffed on the call. This was not transitory CPI. But nevertheless, you know, the Fed has in place good leadership. The markets responded in general in a cordial way.
But we did see U.S. Treasuries being sold off, and I think the market's already pricing in a rate hike as soon as June. Do you share the same view?
Yeah, we pulled forward. We have pulled forward our expectations for the Fed to start hiking rates in July, and then two more times over the course of 22. But that's all data dependent, right? I mean, there's another part of the street that says we're going to go back into deflation. I don't buy that argument because I don't think inflation has peaked. It's not going to peak until, say, January, February, March of next year. And by then, maybe the market's forced the hand of the Fed to move more aggressively, to be more hawkish. So the Fed has a very, very difficult job ahead of them. So, Jay Powell, I hope he has a good holiday here. He's got a lot of work to do later on. A lot of work.
I hope he's stuffing himself with turkey this Thanksgiving. But another name that came out was Richard Clarida, and he basically sounded that they might prospect of actually increasing the taper process, right? Do you think that will be happening then?
Well, the Fed could increase the tapering, but honestly, I mean, you could taper faster. I think the credit markets, I mean, we don't need the Fed. Let's say there's enough liquidity out there that the Fed doesn't need to be injecting all this liquidity month in and month out. So I think that's secondary to tightening. Now, when you enter a tightening cycle, that's a different story altogether, because then you got to look 12 months out for the effects on, all the corporate borrowing, who can pay back the bills, who can meet their loans on time. That's a different story. So tightening is one thing. That's very serious in terms of market. Tapering is secondary.
Meanwhile, another asset class which has been volatile other than fixed income has actually been oil. WTI this morning, $76 a barrel. I mean, not too long ago, it was quite comfortable above $80 a barrel. What's the reason for this dip?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, maybe it's related. I'm surprised that, whether it's China, the United States, everyone ready to release the oil reserve. So, all countries have oil stored in tanks, and maybe the signal that they're willing to use these reserves has kind of weakened a little bit the price expectation. So I don't think we're out of the woods, because I do think there's a geopolitical event building with Russia and Ukraine. So it just takes one geopolitical black swan, so to speak, or outlier to drive oil prices back. So I think, you know, it's the willingness and signaling, whether it's China and the United States in particular, to release oil reserves. I think that's weighing on oil prices on the downside.
And we share the theme to tech, because we saw NASDAQ sold down last night by about 1.26%. Essentially dragged down by hedge fund tech darlings, which really have not yet made any sense of profit. You know, investors' patience running thin.
No, I mean, for technology, I mean, I've said this multiple times on your show. Any dip in technology in the big, large U.S. cap names, buy them, buy the dips. We're early innings for the digital global economy. They have good first mover advantage. They've got plenty of cash. So we still like technology. It's barbell. We're going to own technology on the dip, and we still like the cyclicals positioning into 22, whether it's, you know, financials, energy, materials. It's too early to get defensive. There's some folks on Wall Street saying, oh, we got to go defensive because of the Fed tightening cycle, utilities, and so forth. It's too early. So, you know, 22 is going to shape up a very interesting year. Investors really got to be on the game, be nimble, and the key is own quality. You know, if you go into 22 and all the volatility, own good stocks, good assets, and you can sleep at night. Did you say you didn't get enough sleep last night?
I slept like a baby last night.
High quality portfolio, you'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for your time. There was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, telling us to own quality because then you can sleep better at night, valid advice, very good advice.
Such a considerate man, I have to say.
Well, I think it's good advice for any investor. You know, you must know what you own. I think that's number one. And if you don't, you know, caveat emptor, because sometimes it can come back and haunt you. And I had this investment advice given to me many, many years ago, which I still carry with me. And it's not that the biggest mistake is buying the wrong stock. The biggest mistake is not knowing why you bought the stock.
Oh.
So you need to know exactly the reasons for it.
Yeah,
and even if it's in a way, like something that you're not sure about, you know that. Don't fool yourself into thinking anything else.
It's a conscious awareness of not knowing that you're going to do it, but you still will then monitor it a bit more carefully.
You need to know, always at the back of your mind, the reasons why you have that. But staying on the topic of Jerome Powell, I guess it wasn't that much of a surprise in terms of his nomination. And of course, markets are a bit relieved. Treasuries were sold off. But is it going to be a more hawkish Fed? I think so, because Joe Quinlan's point about the inflation going to be here to stay at least till January to February is probably true. Although I do see news that supply chain disruptions are kind of easing, especially in the ports in the US. The number of containers shortage has improved.
The issue is, of course, the nature of inflation, whether it's transitory. I think the Fed has always been saying it's transitory, but many are saying it's actually increasingly persistent. The debate actually is whether Brainard and Jerome Powell can work together. I think the consensus is yes, they can work together. They bring different angles to it. I think for Brainard especially, employment is a very important metric as well, in addition to inflation. But Jerome also, I think, has been talking a lot about also an inclusive employment as well.
Well, apparently they have very similar views on monetary policy, but differ over bank regulation, with Brainard actually opposing at nearly every step of Powell's rollbacks. So she's a little bit more, I would say, liberal in terms of her views.
That's a very good point, actually, Shawnee, because Elizabeth Warren, one of the key senators who's also dubbed a progressive, actually branded Jerome Powell as a very dangerous man. And she was advocating very strongly for Lael Brainard for simply this whole banking regulation push. But I think what will happen here is that because this is a status quo, confirmability of both names in the Senate are probably quite high.
Yes. And it is almost a bipartisan decision, right? I don't see them opposing each other. After all, Jerome Powell was nominated by the Republicans in the first place.
Exactly. And Janet Yellen has already come out to say that she's very happy and she supported the nomination of Jerome Powell. So I think this is very good news. I think it also reflects Biden's bipartisan approach towards doing this kind of work. So I think this is a good sign, I would say.
Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.